Well, hello. It's the 5th of November, 2019, from the Lucy Coleman studio here in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ. Yeah, that picture of me standing at the Golden Gate Bridge on the other side of the Presidio. In other words, I had just left the city of San Francisco. And this was before the days of just go to your Google phone. I think I had a beeper on my side. If I look very close at my buckle, I had a beeper. I didn't have a cell phone as we knew it, not as of yet. And the beeper was the way that my wife would get in touch with me, my daughters, or the people of the church. They would beep me. But I was in San Francisco on a 4-day weekend, just to relax. Lucy had just about fully recovered from open heart surgery. And at that time, I was taking care of her day and night. I was a little chubby. I wasn't feeling well at that time, but I never told anyone. I just didn't. Lucy had just she was recovering from a double bypass, open heart surgery. She was suffering from high blood pressure. I think diabetes also. She wasn't very well, but the girls were home taking care of her. And I drove to San Francisco with a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, Don Ross. He was one of the cameramen at the church that filmed those crucial sermon series that I was going through. And that was at the behest or the suggestion of the board, because at that time they didn't, everybody was so afraid of their pastors getting caught up in mayhem and stuff like that. So I said, okay, I'll choose a man to go with me. And at that time, Don lived about 4 or 5 blocks from me. We were very close, very close. And this weekend was especially special to me, because this was a weekend that I really grew up and began to become aware of a lot of things that was going on in the ministry of the church, because basically Don told me. Don was a guy that was right off the streets. He knew what was going on. As a matter of fact, I told him during this weekend excursion that I thought that he was involved with a little too much that had to do with nothing with some of the women at the church. Of course, he denied it, looked at me with that smile and just smiled and laughed. It was interesting. But San Francisco was crowded that weekend. And I'll never forget, after driving in, we went by some of the best hotels. I was just going to get a regular room, 2 beds, and I was going to visit museums, restaurants, just to relax, do nothing. Don't do any sermon preparation, any exegesis, anything. What a weekend it turned out to be. As a matter of fact, when this was the, I believe this was on a Saturday morning that, yeah, this was a Saturday morning. I can tell by the shadow giving there about what time of the day it was in San Francisco. But we were looking for a breakfast place that we never found. So we went back into the city, ended up going to one of the city's quaint Chinese restaurants and having just a wonderful meal. And that's where Don and I opened up. We start talking, man to man. As a matter of fact, we went up there. We were driving up, and he said, "I have a favor to ask of you." And I asked him, "What?" And he says, "Don't address me as Brother Don, and I don't want to address you as Pastor John." I thought that was, I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "I can talk at you freer if I didn't call you by that title." He says, "I think I like to know you better than that." I said, "Okay, cool." And so while we were driving up there, I was listening to my music, my CDs. I brought about 20 of them along because, of course, I thought that I was going to be alone. And I wanted to listen to my own music as I looked at the scenery and enjoyed the sights and sounds of San Francisco and the surrounding areas. He said, "Let's do this. Let's cut the music off and let's just talk freely, man to man. I can ask you any question that I want about your life, and you can ask me any question about my life, and let's answer it. Let's not talk like we talk when we're in the church, when you're lecturing." And so I told him, I said, "You know, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's do it." And then we started. He asked me a question. I asked him a question. He answered it. I answered it. All kidding aside, whatever. And you know, as men will be, men will be men. That's why this picture means a lot to me, because Donald took a picture of me. I had just crossed over the Golden Gate Bridge, and I said, "Oh, there's a place to park where people are taking pictures. Let me have you take a picture of me." And I wish it was a closer up picture, but I told him to get the bridge in the picture to prove that I was there. And so, okay, I guess he did it right. But this man, that weekend, as we were talking, you know, he asked me the questions that we never ask each other. You know, how many people have you been with sexually? And I said, "Really, you want me to answer that?" And he said, "Yes." And I answered the question. Mentioned the names of the people. And it only came down to two people. And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "So all that stuff that you're talking behind the pulpit is basically true. You haven't been fooling around." And I told him, I said, "No, I never fooled around." He said, "You never fooled around on Lucy?" "No." And see, and I'm coming clean on my own website. And I chose to do it this way, friends, because I'm not going to write the book. If I wrote the book, you'd have to be reading it. I want you to look at some of the pictures of me. And now, since I'm a retired pastor, I even liked that shirt that I had on. That was one of my favorite shirts. But as you can tell, it was a little short in the sleeves. But it was one of my favorite shirts. And I believe those were Docker jeans that I had on. And San Quentin's not too far from there. I wasn't an escaped prisoner. I still have the glasses that I have on. I still wear them. And so I ask him questions. He asked me questions. I ask him questions back. And I ask him questions about how many people has he been with. I was just astounded at the count that he gave me. And he lived up around the San Francisco area when he was a younger man. And so after we had Chinese, because we drove back into Frisco and we had a Chinese lunch, then we took BART and went into Oakland. And he showed me where he stayed in Oakland, and a few addresses that we went by that he had these mad love affairs. And I said, really? And it was just exciting talking to him about it because I had never sat down with another grown man and spoken about sexual escapades such as that. I just didn't do it. And I found it interesting that he wanted to discuss that with me. And prior to that, we never had these discussions around the church or anything. He would come by the house. I would help him with some academic stuff. And he was my cameraman. He would help me do the editing. As a matter of fact, the night of the Rodney King verdict, when it came out, Don and I was at the church working on some editing when the rioting started in LA. And I recall saying, hey man, it's getting kind of rough out there, because we were monitoring the TV. And I said, I think we better get towards home because I don't want to get trapped on this side of town. So, it's amazing. I had two children. Donald had two children. Don's children are grown now. And of course, the marriage didn't work out. He just abandoned the relationship, and I knew why. It was tumultuous to begin with. And when I was teaching in the church, I was trying to teach people to love one another, to love one another. As a matter of fact, I just got wind of this. I won't read to you the person's name. I'll come back. Let's see, how can I do this? I want to show you, well, not show you, but I want to read something to you. And I won't tell you who the person's name is, but I'm going to read it. And the person says, on Friday, my brother was found dead in his home in a state back east. A few hours later, I was informed that my cousin here in California died of pancreatic cancer. And later the night, another call announcing another cousin had been murdered in another city. All on Friday, this person said. I'm trying to get to, he mentions, one state by Friday morning, do my brother's funeral, and fly back to Southern California for my cousin's funeral on Monday morning. And then the person says, please keep me in your thoughts. Right now, I'm in so much need. Now, you don't know who this person is, and you're not supposed to know who the person is, but I know who this person is. And if I was talking with this person, see, you're not in need of anything. What are you in need of? Really? You're not in the. If I got a call that my sister was dead in Chicago, I would not be in need of a ticket to go to Chicago. I just wouldn't. She's dead. There's nothing I can do for her. And likewise for a cousin or anything else. Let me tell you something else. We'll get back to the San Francisco trip in a bit. I was here and a guest in the house, got a phone call. And the phone call said, "Wonder if you can pick me up. I need a ride to get to where I'm going." And the guest asked me, "Could I provide the transportation?" This person was in the downtown area. And I said, what are the circumstances of his need?" See, this is what I'm thinking about. And so he began to ask the man, "What are the circumstances?" He says, "Well, I was supposed to meet a person down here, but I don't feel good about meeting this person. And I don't know how things are going to turn out." So I said, "Oh, so it's a situation where he may have gotten in trouble in hot water with somebody else." And so I said, "No, I don't think I'm going to do that. If he got in hot water with somebody, he's going to get out of that hot water by himself." And this person said, "But I'm a friend." I said, "I don't give a damn what you are. I don't live for you, nor him, or anyone. I only live for one person." Now, let's go back to the San Francisco trip. I wasn't thinking that way then. Every time someone contacted me as a pastor, I was there. Listen closely. I was there for them. They could always depend upon me to give an open ear and an open heart for their problems, even if they were instrumental in bringing about these problems. See, as a pastor, I loved everybody that I came in contact with. In the religion that I was taught, we were taught to love everyone, regardless. Even if they're a redneck racist and don't like you, love them. And I recall during my tenure as a pastor, people would always ask, "How can you talk about loving someone that you don't even know? You don't even know these people in foreign countries. You mean you would love to eat what they eat, smell what they smell, be with where they are?" I said, "I'd probably gag, but if they're human beings and they have a life, why would it be too difficult for me to love them?" You know? A lot of people have tremendous difficulty with that. But in the religion that I had adapted as my own to love, I could have driven to San Francisco that weekend by myself. But no, they said, "We have to hold you accountable, Pastor." And all those men that made that decision, except for one, are dead. They're all dead. And I said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, you're a pastor, and we have to make sure that no hanky-panky is going on." And I thought to myself, I said, if I wanted to hanky-panky, I wouldn't go all the way 300 and something miles to San Francisco. I'd hanky-panky right here in Los Angeles, and you still wouldn't know anything about it. So I said, "Okay, I'll pick somebody." And I chose Don. We were friends. Don came to the church a number of years before. He and the Jackson brothers were selling Amway products. And one of the Jackson brothers was already attending the church, and he brought Don by my office because that's where I worked out of the church to introduce me to him. And I said, "Wow, this is right up my alley. Young men eager to know about God and to learn about stuff like that. That's right up my alley," because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to take the church and befriend young men married, because Ricky was married. Cliff was trying to get married. Don was married. All of the young men that came into the church were married. Even my associate pastor, Greg Owens, he was married. The unmarried men were very quick looking for a wife. And it's interesting because as I speak with young men today, they tell me, I'll get back to the Frisco story. Just hang in there. They said to me that marriage was for a different reason. And I asked him, what do you mean? And they said, when we get married, it is for business things. Is this person going to be the right person for me to buy a house with, start a business with, to confide in? Is this person going to be my friend and all that? And I told this young man, I said, no. When I married Lucy, I wasn't thinking about business or anything like that. It was ridiculous for me to even give thought that I was marrying her for some kind of business arrangement, that because I was her husband, that her life would get better that way. No. I knew that I had to have a wife in order to be legitimized in practically anything. I didn't want to be single. But I did not want to live in a house full of people that were like my family. I could not stand the way my family was. And so that's why meeting Lucy was just a godsend. She was a gift. And meeting male friends, people that I could really speak with, look into their eyes. And that's one thing that Don and I did. We looked in each other's eyes and Don would say, you know, I like talking to you. And I would say, I like talking to you too, because I can look at you and you don't look away. I remember it was one night that we were there. I think it was a Friday night. And we were trying to find some kind of a bar. That's right. I said, I'm here in San Francisco, and I want to have me a nice cocktail, you know. And so we walked, I forget what part it was. We must have walked about a mile and a half looking for this address. Because we didn't have cell phones, it just had beepers. So we came into this club and it was a nice place, a little neighborhood bar. And they were playing the oldies it was just a great time. A great time. And then we walked back to the hotel. Being in that city was great. I learned an awful lot. Now, you know what they say about Vegas, whatever happens in Vegas or San Francisco or Salt Lake City, Utah, or whatnot, stays there, right? Well, nothing happened, really. We just enjoyed each other's company and drove back to Los Angeles, and we never did anything like that again. And I missed it. I miss that kind of camaraderie, this fellowship in San Francisco. Now, my wife went to San Francisco. See, a lot of people think that, oh, well, Lucy went to San Francisco with you and she took a picture of it. No, she didn't. Lucy went to San Francisco with her daughters. She was happier being with her daughters. And she knew that I was happier being out with the guys. It was my weekend out with the guys. I wish I had more of that during my church tenure. I think that's why I really love being out with men today. And we try to talk in that very same way and to communicate in ways in which everyone is enriched. Boy, what a beautiful afternoon as I look out the studio window here on a Tuesday. Just a wonderful, sunny Tuesday afternoon in Los Angeles. But that's what that picture is all about, San Francisco. I have other things that I can share with you maybe later on. I'm still trying to clean up this office, throw out stuff, so I better get off this thing and do it. And I want to thank you guys for coming to my website and listening to my stories. I'm going to put another picture up in a minute and so that you can figure out the story behind that picture too. Wow, that weekend in San Francisco, I'll never forget it, ever.